Our text is found again in Romans chapter 5. And I want you to turn with me if you will. Listen to verse 5. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commanded his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Our subject today will be, as we continue our study on the book of reconciliation, the necessity of God's work in reconciliation. Last time we pointed out that the work of Christ was a fourfold work, and I want to continue a little bit on that, because it was not only a penal work, but we find it was a sacrificial work, and then we find it was a federal work, and we see also it was a vicarious work. But then there's a little bit more that I want to add to you today, and then we're going to go on and show you the necessity of reconciliation and satisfaction. The work of the Lord Jesus Christ was also an accomplishing work. Now you say, preacher, what are you talking about? He satisfied the Lord God of heaven. Romans chapter 3, if you will, look with me at verse 24 down through verse 26. Listen to what it says. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say at this time, his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where's boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? By works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. And we see the work of the Lord Jesus Christ was an accomplishing work. He propitiated or satisfied the Lord God of heaven. You see, the wrath of God, the justice of God, the holiness of God, and we find very clearly the law of God, all cries out for the damnation of every sinner. But at the same time, the mercy of God and the love of God also cry out for the salvation of the sinner. Now, how can that be done? Only through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's the kind of work he did. Now, as I mentioned before, it was an accomplishing work. He satisfied the Lord God of heaven. Then he did this. He expiated the sins of his people. Now, don't let that word expiate throw you. It means he removed the sins of his people. And how wonderful it is. And we see it set forth in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 10. Look with me, if you will, verse 12 through 18, where it says these words. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Wherefore the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their heart, and in their minds will I write them, and their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. Now where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. And so you have the accomplishing work of the Lord Jesus Christ, which he did with regard to our reconciliation. He propitiated the Lord God of heaven. He expiated the sins of God's people. And then he did this. He reinstated us in divine favor. Now someone might say, now preacher, what in the world are you talking about? What do you mean we're reinstated into the favor of God? Well, before you got saved, my friend, you were out of favor with God, and you better understand that. God hates the workers of iniquities. He said so over and over again in the Word of God. When you were without Christ, you were not an object of God's redeeming love. You were an object of God's love of purpose at that time if you were one of the elect of God. And the only way you're going to find out if you're the elect of God or not is when you come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when our Lord saved us, what did he do? He reinstated us in divine favor. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, we read these words. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Then in verse 9, we read again. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Now let me stop right here. Do you know what I'm talking about? Have you been reconciled unto God? Is the Lord God of heaven your Father? In other words, when you bow before the Lord, you say, Our Father, or Our Blessed Father, or Our Holy Father. But I'll tell you right now, you don't continually call him God. He is our God. He's our Father God. But at the same time, what happens? When we come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord God of heaven puts the Spirit of his Son in our hearts, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The book of Galatians brings that out very clearly. Then, not only did our Lord propitiate the Lord of heaven, he expiated the sins of his people, he reinstated us in divine favor, and then he estated us with an everlasting inheritance of glory. Now, what in the world do you mean? All right, Romans chapter 8, if you will, look with me at verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Now, what in the world do you have here? The estate we have is this. God has estated us to an everlasting inheritance of glory. And like the book of 1 John says, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And then we find also, as I mentioned before, we have an inheritance of glory, kept under guard by the angels in heaven. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 3 through 5 brings that out. But then look again, if you will. Not only was it a sacrificial work and an accomplishing work, but then we find also, what was it? We see the consequence of Christ's work is this. Are you listening? And this is what makes it so great. First of all, the guilt of our transgressions are canceled. Now you say, what in the world are you talking about here? All right? Have you ever stood before God as a guilty sinner? Listen to what the book of Romans tells us in Romans chapter 3 and verse 19. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, is saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. We find the consequence of the Lord's work is this, the guilt of our transgressions is cancelled. Again, Romans chapter 5, and look at me if you will at verse 8. But God commanded his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Oh, I wish I had the words that I could explain this. But my friend, it's so magnificent and it's so gracious. And we find, yet, this is a consequence of Christ's work. The guilt of our transgressions has been canceled. Now, beloved, I'm going to tell you right now, if you've never stood before God as a guilty, lost, hell-bound, hell-deserving sinner, then I'm going to tell you something. You've never been converted. I don't care who you are. I don't care what kind of religion you may be in, and what you've been taught, and everything like that. But I'll tell you right now, before God saves you, he makes you stand before the judgment bar of the Lord God of heaven, condemned by the law. And I'll tell you right now, your mouth will be shut because you'll be found guilty before God, and you'll be under the curse of the law. And my friend, nobody, absolutely nobody, escapes this. Now, I don't care who you are or what you are, my friend. If you've never stood before God as a guilty, lost sinner, then put it down. You've never been converted, because the Lord Jesus Christ has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Now, hold your seat. You can be lost in your mind, but that's not deep enough. You've got to be lost in your soul. You can understand the doctrine of being lost by studying it, but I'll tell you right now, it'll only be an empty doctrine to you because there won't be any living reality. But when the Lord God of heaven makes you stand before Him, and this is done by the power of God, the Holy Spirit, I'll tell you right now, we stand before Him a guilty sinner. Then the second thing is this. We find also we are in bondage. Now what does that mean? We are held captive by the devil according to his will. We can't get out. We can't save ourselves. And free will today doesn't bring an individual to a saving knowledge of Christ. We find the Lord God of heaven has to stop by the heart's door. And we find no man can come to Christ except the Father draw him. And this is part of the drawing power of the Lord God of heaven. What does he do? He makes us stand before him guilty. And we find also not only that, but we stand before him as a sinner in bondage. Now, people today just don't know what that means. But I want to tell you something. If you're without the Lord Jesus today, you are in the bondage of sin. Sin rules in your heart. And the book of Romans brings that out very clearly. It says in Romans chapter 7 and verse 14, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin." And we find redemption comes from the Greek word agorazo, which means to redeem an individual by blood and power. And we have to be redeemed from our sin and from our condemnation and from Satan as well as from the world. We have to be redeemed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ and by the power of God as it's applied to our soul. People today don't understand this, but I want to tell you right now, that's why people today don't seem to appreciate the Lord God of heaven like they should. As I mentioned before, I'll mention it again. The greatest thing can happen to you, if it ever does, is for the Lord Jesus to stop by your heart's door, move upon you, make you stand before him guilty, and make you stand before him in bondage. And then also, we find very clearly, when our Lord saves us, what does he do? He makes us legally and experientially righteous, and we are fully reconciled unto the Lord God of heaven. We find the necessity of God's work in reconciliation. The condition of man, as I've been bringing out to you, necessitates the work of God for man to be saved. Because you see, not only is man sinful, but man is also without strength. Listen again to our text in Romans chapter 5, if you will. Listen to what it says. Verse 6, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." Now I'm going to ask you a question. What does it mean to stand without strength? It means very clearly that you can't save yourself. It means that you stand before God hopeless, helpless, and hapless, and knowing very clearly that if God doesn't save you, you'll never be saved, and that only the Lord Jesus Christ can save you. Nothing else can. Man is without strength. Man is sinful, and man is an ungodly sinner. And we see it set forth very clearly. Christ died for the ungodly. In other words, there's a time in your life that you live without God. Now, when does that start? It starts when we're born. We are born in sin, whether you like to understand it or not. Because the Scripture says, "There's none righteous, there's none that doeth good, there's none that seeketh after God. They altogether gone out of the way. They're altogether become unprofitable." And that's the way we are until the Lord God of heaven stops by, stops us in our tracks, opens our understandings, and begins to deal with us and show us very clearly our need of him. Until we meet again, this is Pastor North here of the Mercies of God saying goodbye. And oh, may the Lord spare you before it's too late.